All right, it is Wednesday morning. It's 8:04. You're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. And today we're going to talk about how do you give back to your community? How do we find the time to volunteer? And how can motivated people start their own movements and nonprofit organizations? Our guests are Steve Bodine of the Fame Academy. Are you there, Steve?
I'm here, Lisa. Good morning.
Good morning, and thanks for being with us. And also live in the studio, we've got Leapin' Louis Lichtenstein of Clowns Without Borders. Louis, thanks for being here.
Hey, happy to be here.
And so we're looking at two different nonprofits. One is here in the local community. The other focuses on international issues, both of these groups do absolutely grassroots things. And later, a little bit later, we're going to ask you listeners to call us up with your volunteer gigs. Do you need volunteers? Do you volunteer? You know, who do you volunteer with? And what is your idea for a nonprofit group or a movement? So let's start out with Steve, talk a little bit about the Fame Academy. What does the Fame Academy do?
Sure thing. Fame is spelled P-H-A-M-E, and it stands for Pacific Honored Artists, Musicians, and Entertainers. And we are a 26-year-old nonprofit organization in Portland. Believe it or not, we've been around for 26 years. And we do arts programming and education for adults with developmental disabilities. Now, I'll point out really quickly, this makes us really unique in Oregon and really unique in the country. We're one of the only, if not the only, arts academies focused on serving this population, adults with developmental disabilities. And I've got to say, the artists that we serve, whether they're singers, dancers, actors, writers, are pretty extraordinary and completely inspiring. So I'm really pleased to be working with them. I'm their managing director, newly appointed as of a few weeks ago.
All right. And so what do you do there? What is your vision?
Our vision is for arts to be accessible to everyone, and especially in different factions of the disabled community, whether you're talking about physical disabilities or developmental disabilities. Too frequently, those persons in those communities are turned away from opportunities to be creatively expressive and to have a stage or to have a canvas in which to express themselves. And so our vision is for a community in Portland where the arts are accessible to everyone.
Okay. Here, I want to ask this, Steve. What is your background? How did you get involved in this? I mean, we're looking at volunteerism. You know, what kind of people do what kind of things? How did you get involved in this organization?
Yeah, that's a great question, Lisa. And it came out of a big volunteer project that I took on. Last January, I'm sure you and your listeners will remember the really awful Haiti disaster, the Haiti earthquake. And when that happened, I said to myself, I've got to do something about this. And so I connected with Tom Sessa, who's the manager over at the Aladdin Theater in Southeast Portland. And I said, Tom, we should partner together and produce a benefit concert to support the Haiti disaster relief efforts. And we did that. We did just that. And it featured Storm Large and the Portland Cello Project and Thomas Lauderdale, all really fine musicians in Portland, very dear friends and colleagues of mine. And we ended up raising, in one night at the Aladdin Theater, $162,000 to benefit Mercy Corps' Haiti disaster relief efforts. And it came out of my desire to step forward and help and have an impact in Portland. And it came out of the amazing volunteerism and the amazing heart and hard work of hundreds of musicians and 700-plus audience members and volunteers backstage and on stage, and it was just an amazing night. And so that, to answer your question then, that's how I found Fame Academy, which is I invited Fame to perform on that concert. I'd never heard them before, but they came highly recommended to me. So I invited the Fame Academy choir to perform. And when they stepped on stage at the Aladdin, just blew me away. And I said, I've got to get involved in this organization. So I joined as a volunteer board member and then have since joined as a staff member.
All right, Stephen, hold on now. You said Haiti. And that makes us turn to Leap and Louis Lichtenstein and Clowns Without Borders. Leap and Louis Lichtenstein's real name is David. And full disclosure, Leap and Louis Lichtenstein is my husband of very many years. And so, David, you were instrumental in helping organize Clowns Without Borders in the United States. But this is an old organization as well. And the big focus of many of our local Clowns Without Borders pals now has been Haiti. So can you talk about the roots of Clowns Without Borders? Who founded it and how did you get involved in it?
Okay, so that's a lot. We are Clowns Without Borders. Clownswithoutborders.org is our website. And we are the American chapter of an international organization founded in Spain some 25 years ago. Yeah. And we send performing groups to do workshops and performances in crisis areas of the world. And
circus groups, basically. Clowns.
Yeah, we're clowns. We're physical theater people. We're circus people. There's a great wave of new circus, physical theater, and clown all over the world. And so it's drawing from the energy of all those people who are excited about that and channeling it into doing some work in the poorest areas and in the most needy areas.
And you were in Haiti this year.
Yeah, I've been in Haiti the last 2 years. I was in Haiti in March, 2 months after the quake, and I was there before the quake, too. Actually, we have a big fundraiser every year, usually in March. And this year I missed it because I was in Haiti during the fundraiser.
Okay, but now talk about what is the motto of Clowns Without Borders. What do clowns have to do with war zones and disaster areas?
Our motto is no child without a smile. So we go into these needy areas and we do shows and workshops. We go there and just make the kids laugh like crazy for an hour or two. And then often we'll do workshops with them where we teach them some self-expression, give them some time to practice things. And we had decided to concentrate on Haiti for Clowns Without Borders USA even before the quake, because it's one of the poorest areas in the world that's basically in a constant state of crisis. And it's close to the USA, so it was natural for us to focus on it. And then the quake hit, and then we've been there a lot, although it's been different since the quake hit.
Mm. And as people who were listening to Democracy Now! Immediately before this show, we're listening to journalist Alan Nairn and Amy Goodman talk a little bit about Haiti and the political unrest there. One of the things I really want to nail with this one, David, is as an artist, what made you get interested in relief work? I know that the first place you went with Clowns Without Borders was Chiapas and the Zapatista-held refugee camps there. So talk about why did you get involved, you know, with this most, dangerous in a way of efforts?
Well, I love performing, and I love performing for people who want to see it, and these are people who love it so much. It's really a great joy to go out to these places. And like most people, I've always wanted to help out more than I maybe have actually done, you know? And so that was a chance to go out and do it in places that really wanted and appreciate it. And it's interesting that we get to meet a lot of the helping non-governmental organization world. You know, we work with Mercy Corps, we work with all these organizations, because it's larger organizations like that that usually schedule our shows and haul us around. And they love having, you know, they're here doing these programs where they're trying to find a safe place for kids to be, they're feeding them, they're doing things like that, and then we come and say, okay, we'll show up for free and entertain these kids and just make them laugh like crazy. And they love having that part of it.
Okay, but I know, okay. Now, I only know this because I know you and I know what you've been through as you've gone on these trips before, and you make it sound like it's really fun and you're saying it's fun, but I know for a fact that you were in, Guatemala, standing on a mud flow a few years ago that had buried an entire village, and that was not fun. I mean, you come face to face with death. right? Talk about that a little. I want to talk with Steve about this too. We're talking about people going out in the world and making the change that you want to see, but there are moments when it is a heartbreak. I mean, I need to ask you about that.
Well, it's hard work. Going to Haiti and doing anything is hard work. It's hard to help in a place that's so needy. We were there 2 months after the quake, and we did shows in most of the major hospitals of Port-au-Prince.
Lots of children that were missing limbs.
Yes. So there was lots of traumatic injury. The hospital was jammed full of very severe traumatic injury. I did entertain, hug, and shake hands with hundreds of children who had recently lost limbs. And conditions in Haiti are tough, so even though we were kept in good conditions because we were foreigners, we were still living in a tent with not much water and then just doing hours of sweaty work every day. But it's rewarding to do that sweaty, hard work for people who need it so much.
Okay, you're listening to Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. Today we're talking about how do you give back to your community? How do you find time to volunteer? And how can motivated people start their own movements and nonprofit organizations? We want to throw open the phone lines now. Where do you volunteer? Or do you have a volunteer gig where you need more people to come and help? Or, you know, last week our pal Stevie Ray called, and she has this idea for a nonprofit organization that she wants to start. She was looking for resources. Do you have an idea for a nonprofit group or a movement that you want to bounce off the people? The number to call is 503-231-8187. Stevie Ray, you never did actually say what your nonprofit was, and we would love to hear the idea around it. So I want to cycle back a tiny bit and ask Steve that same question. Steve, working with people at the FAME Academy are all ages. Steve, are there times when you're going to work, you're creating these music programs, acting programs, visual art programs for people who have Down syndrome or people who have, mental disabilities? Are there times when you feel discouraged or you feel like the need is too big and you can't meet it?
It's a good question, and I'm going to answer that by first just saying to Leap and Louie that I have so much respect for the work that you do and have done in Haiti. And just hearing you talk about your program was very moving for me. So I just wanted to say thank you to Leap and Louie and his organization for his amazing work, Haiti and worldwide, because they're doing great stuff. Now, I'll add about FAME. The great thing about art, right, is that it expresses the full range of human emotion and experience. And so when we work with our students, these adults with developmental disabilities, and you spoke about some of them, whether it's Down syndrome, autism, Asperger's, whatever the case may be, sometimes, like with any artist, but I think this is the case certainly with our students, you'll see an artist struggling through the experience of how they try to express something. And you see them working through the turmoil of human emotion, whoever they are, whatever their ability may be. And so we see this going on at FAME Academy day in and day out when students are maybe working through building the confidence to be able to step on stage and sing a solo. And for some students, that comes very naturally, and for some, you really see the struggle and the emotion and the turmoil sometimes that it takes to be able to get on stage and sing that. And we see that constantly at FAME Academy, and that's why I think, you know, the work that we do and the work that Leap and Louie's group and so many other organizations out there are doing is so important.
Mm. And so what I hear you saying is you're really looking at struggles inside individual people. It's mano a mano for you at the FAME Academy.
Well, very much. I mean, we serve about 100 students annually, and a big focus of ours is providing highly individualized attention. And we do a range of arts programming. We do everything from, we do physical theater classes to scene study classes. creative writing. We have a hip-hop dance class that we're starting next month, which we're getting a lot of registration for. Students seem very excited about that. We think that the best thing we can provide with our students, these amazing adults with developmental disabilities, is the opportunity to meet them wherever they are and to provide as many entry and access points to creative expression, to arts experience, to hands-on creation as possible. And in a sense, when you get in the room with these students, we're not cataloging their disabilities. We're working through their abilities and their talents. So we really focus on each individual student as best as we can.
All right, and this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're talking about how do you give back to your community, and we have a couple of callers. LJ, how do you give back to your community? How did it go, that sleeping bag giveaway that you did before Christmas?
I have to tell you something, Lisa, and my KBOO family, thank you for opening up your hearts. Thank you for making this very, very, very successful. We were overwhelmed with the gratitude. How can I put this? We were overwhelmed with the generosity of people who came by to the Red and Black Cafe, to Laughing Horse, also to Microcosm, to drop off blankets, to drop off sleeping bags, to drop off sweaters and coats and clothing and all kinds of things. Totally overwhelmed by how our community has totally opened up their hearts to the homeless folks here, and we really, really appreciate that a lot.
All right, LJ, thanks for calling in.
And I'm with the Laughing Horse Collective.
Okay.
And we are always looking for people to work at our collective. We are a radical bookstore. We're at 12 Northeast 10th. Our phone number is 503-236-2893. We're always looking for volunteers. And I want to also tell folks that we offer our space after hours for various groups who want to hold meetings, who want to give classes, who want to show movies, who want to have musical shows. And we give our space for free because that is our obligation to our community.
Excellent, excellent.
We are out to serve our community.
Excellent, LJ.
Thank you, Lisa.
That's information people can use. I like that about LJ because we got a little note that was written on an Eskimo Pie wrapper a few weeks ago about this sleeping bag giveaway. It was like people just said, oh, there's more homeless people than ever this year. Let's do it. And they got a few people on the phone and they made it happen. I love that when also local businesses and nonprofits participate. Microcosm, we love them. And we have another caller. The number to call is 503-231-8187. We have Joanne. What do you think, Joanne? What should we be doing?
Well, I have a couple of questions before I disappear from the earth. And, anyway, I will sooner or later, but that's the way it is. First, you know, during the Depression, they had the WPA, and I guess the government was behind it. And I don't expect an answer to this, but why, you know, the government, our government should be helping people like the people you have on your program and the others out there. And I have one more question. And people probably are going to get mad at me. I got two biracial grandchildren. One dropped out in middle school. One dropped out in high school. One got her social security disability because of her kidneys and that. The other one's still trying to get it. And maybe it's because he's got brown skin. But I want to ask you and everybody else, where have you been? Where has everybody been for my grandchildren? Goodbye.
Okay. All right, Joanne. Joanne raises the question, where have we been for her grandchildren? It's a great question. And this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're asking people, how do you give back to your community? The number to call, 503-231-8187. You know what? If anybody out there knows any medical charities that can help out young people with physical problems like the kidney issue that Joanne was talking about, we would especially love to hear from you right now. 503-231-8187. I wouldn't be surprised if there is someone out there. And I wanted to bring this back to David and Stephen. When you look around at the works that you've been doing now, both of you guys have been getting up to, you've been taking a running start to the work that you're doing. And I know that Stephen specifically has been reaching out to people the last few weeks to try to put together the nuts and bolts of how to run this nonprofit group. David Lichtenstein, Clowns Without Borders, just within the past year or two formed your first board of directors, and you've been going through some changes. So just, you know, as a kind of procedural thing, I wanted to put it to you guys. Stephen, first, what are, as someone who is operating a nonprofit organization, what are the key nuts and bolts that you would recommend to someone who's thinking about doing something like this? What are the key nuts and bolts that people need to wrap their brains around, Stephen, to be able to run an organization that's providing services like yours?
Oh my gosh, where to start? I guess, Lisa, I would say one of the most important key elements to any nonprofit organization and any successful nonprofit organization is a mission that is needed, has a demonstrated need by the community that you're looking to serve. We see, you know, nonprofits are flourishing. We see a lot of nonprofits being founded right now, and some of them stick around for a long time. FAME, as I mentioned before, we've been in business for 26 years doing arts education and programs for adults with developmental disabilities in Portland. And we were founded in 1984 by a woman named Carol Stady because she saw a need from students, from young persons and adults and their families, for a need for arts participation for this population. And so I think you ask one of the key elements. I think you've got to have a compelling mission and one that is driven by the needs of the community. I would say maybe two other things that come immediately to mind. You've got to be business savvy. A lot of people love to talk about nonprofits as feel-good institutions, and we are, because we are mission-driven organizations. But you've got to have the savvy to be able to bring sponsors on board, to get government support. Your caller, Joanne, asked about government support. FAME is very proud to be supported by the Regional Arts and Culture Council, which is a government-related entity. We receive city money for some of our arts programming through the Regional Arts and Culture Council. So there is some government support out there for nonprofit organizations. I would say maybe the third thing that you've got to have to be a successful nonprofit is you've just got to have passion, and you've got to be able to speak intelligently and strongly about your mission and to just beat the pavement. And Lisa, you alluded to some of the work that I've been doing in social media, just getting the word out about FAME and our participation in the Willamette Week Give Guide, which is this really cool community philanthropy project where you can choose one of 79 great nonprofits in the Portland area and give directly to them through wweek.com/giveguide. You've just got to be out there and present and speaking passionately and intelligently about your organization at all times. Those are just some immediate things that come to mind that I think contribute to a successful nonprofit.
Okay, and you're listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We're asking people out there. I know that there are people listening right now that are that need volunteers for social change projects. I know you're out there. We really need to hear from you. Don't wait till the end of the show to call up. This is a show we're just encouraging people at the end of this year to get plugged into social change. Also, before the end of the year, if people make contributions to nonprofit organizations, you get certain tax breaks. So this is the time to talk about it. And the number to call, and there is someone calling right now, the number to call is 503-231-8187. So David, can you talk a little bit about, you know, Clowns Without Borders has grown. What have you guys had to add on the past couple years?
Well, I imagine most organizations start the way we did with, we start just by doing it and then figuring out afterwards how to make a proper
strategy.
Organization of it. So Moshe Cohen was traveling in Chiapas, Mexico, and he said it was a clown, and people said, oh, we have thousands of kids living in these refugee camps with nothing to do all day. Come clown for us. And so he did that, and then he called up his friends and said, come on down. And so we had a... we got all our performer friends to play for free and charged people to come see us and took that money and bought plane tickets to go down. And we started doing this as a yearly thing, finding places that were in need.
When was that? Was that 10 years ago? Was it 12 years ago now?
12 years ago.
Yeah.
And then after we're doing this for some years, we get more support from people. And people start wanting to give us their resources and money and help us. And we have to become a proper organization and teach ourselves how to run it. And so I'm on the board of directors and clownswithoutborders.org, and we're trying to figure out how to get grants and and make money other ways besides charging tickets to our show every year. Keep a lookout for our Clowns Without Borders show at Da Vinci in the spring.
Da Vinci Middle School, yeah. The annual fundraiser. It's, you know, what's interesting to me, and we do have a couple of callers, but what's interesting to me about what Steve's talking about and what David Lichtenstein is talking about is coming together with really actually very simple ideas to create social change, to empower people, to keep people's humanity in the most difficult situations, as Clowns Without Borders does. But even the act of bolstering your organization brings people together. It creates community. Because at the Fame Academy, it's like Stephen was saying, you know, that you'll have a fundraiser. He has these classes over there at Fame, and all these artists come to teach the classes. And I know that with the Clowns Without Borders benefit, all these different artists that never do travel outside the country come together and do this great big show. And the show itself draws, you know, hundreds and hundreds of people, and they're all part of the same community. And we do have a couple of callers. The number to call is 503-231-8187. We have Janice on the phone. Janice, do you do some kind of volunteering or social change?
I have. Right now I don't because I'm, well, yes, I guess I do. right now my thing is poison in the water because I discovered all the frogs in my neighborhood were dead. And I live in Welch's, which is a place where you shouldn't have dead frogs.
Mm-hmm.
But my question has to do with the definition of a non-profit. Is it not for profit? Is that different?
That's a great idea, and I want to say this too, Janice.
Because I worked for one.
Okay. You know what, Janice? If you could do a lot of just even raising awareness about this issue around the frogs.
Oh, I am.
People care a lot about the frogs, and it sounds kind of nutty, but I remember some years ago we had a frog in our backyard, and we were so excited, like it was a deity or something.
Well, so, the Department of Agriculture didn't seem to care. It was sort of a frogs are toast attitude I ran into. But I just went higher up and found someone who cared who was...
Interesting. All right, Janice. Well, we'll put that question to our experts here. Thanks a lot for calling,
thanks,
Janice. Steve, David. This is a really good question that a lot of people. That's going to be their first question. How do you define what a nonprofit is, and you know what are the qualifications for one?
Well, Steve? I'll just jump right in if that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
The definition comes from state law and federal law. And so when you, what they call incorporate as a nonprofit organization, you, as Dave probably knows, go through a pretty extensive process where you need to talk about what the mission of your organization is, your board of directors, your budget, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And so you are so deemed a nonprofit organization by the state that your nonprofit is based in, and also by the federal government. And then you, once incorporated, become an officially recognized, what they call 501c3 nonprofit organization. Now, your caller asked about the difference between nonprofit and not-for-profit. It's usually just a question of parlance in the nonprofit sector. There are some businesses that do run as a not-for-profit model that are businesses, but that are not incorporated 501c3 nonprofits. I would say that's the only distinction that I've heard, but generally people in the sector refer to it as nonprofit sector. But David, if you have a different take on it, I welcome to hear it.
Because Clowns Without Borders is national now, right?
To continue the nonprofit 101 class, the idea of getting the 501c3 is that people can give tax deductible donations to you. So they give a donation to you, and then they get a tax deduction for that. It encourages people to give to you. And if you're a beginning organization, if you're just trying to Save the Frogs in your area of a Mount Hood community, you can usually find an established nonprofit that will umbrella you. You find a environmental organization that's already done that work, and you can get umbrellaed by them and get help from another organization until you get organized enough to make your own nonprofit.
Wow, Janice, and that's making me think. Audubon Society actually does a lot more stuff than just birds. Thousand Friends of Oregon, you know, there's been a fluctuation in the environmental groups that we've seen traditionally in Oregon. Sierra Club has a really interesting group of fairly radical people on their board of directors right now, if I'm not mistaken. It's a great idea to try to do a little research and see what nonprofits are already out there and just call them up and see if anybody would be willing to do some specific thing. And I'm totally behind Saving the Frogs in Welch's and everywhere else. And we do have a couple more callers. We have Maria on the phone. Maria, what are you doing?
What am I doing? Well, now at this moment, I am feeding a baby, but I am a biologist and a soil scientist that somehow end up working in agriculture. Back in Argentina, this is where I'm from, and now I live in Hillsboro. And I grew forest trees and all kinds of natives. And here I work in this huge industry of ornamental nurseries. Yeah, and I got to get adopted by the Hispanic community here, and I have truly Mexicanized. Meaning I speak Spanglish, and I cook a lot of Mexican food, and I love the people. And with this economy, I'm just heartbroken to see how many nurseries are closing and how many friends are in need. But the ones that are in most need are the ones who don't speak English, and I don't only refer to the ones closer to me, the ones that only speak Spanish or Spanglish or some dialect from rural Mexico. I refer anybody who doesn't speak English. It could be Russian.
Yeah.
Or Asian languages. And they're in deep trouble because a lot of them have been working for the very same nursery that they consider like their family, because when they moved to this country, either legally or illegally, that was a family that the nursery owner or the farm owner are the ones that get them on and maybe even gave them a place to sleep. And they consider them their family in the U.S. and they stay, and maybe now their children or grandchildren are working there part-time because a lot of them go to school. I mean, the next generation. But these growers or managers or, you know, there are all kinds of levels. So, you know, I can close the most I know, or the people I know the best are Mexicans and Guatemalan because we share the language and the culture. But these people are from the lowest labor up to farm managers. Some of them speak very good English. Most of them speak half and half, and some of them don't speak. But still, they're amazing growers. Well, after 30 years of working in the same farm, the farm closed, or they have to let them go. They are lost. They're absolutely lost because really there are not many resources for them. They don't know how to, you know, search for a job on
right.
the internet.
And a lot of people in that situation too, if they try to reach out, they're probably worried that they're going to be penalized, they're going to be thrown out of the country or arrested or harassed.
Some of them, some not.
Yeah.
Some of them, a lot of them are, you know, if they are here for 30 years or more, they probably went through the 1986, how you call this?
Guest worker program.
Yeah, and so they are legal, and but still, as they always work inside a farm, they always work growing plants. They don't know anything about how to search the internet to get a new job in another farm, which, you know, the economy is kind of revamping a little bit, so some nurseries, some hiring, or they're, you know, they're so skilled, they can do anything. Because when you say that somebody work in a farm, you imagine, oh, somebody, you know, grew tomatoes. But they don't do everything. They can fix a tractor, they can, you know, fix fences.
And Maria, I have to cut in and say, you know what's really remarkable about this? I can't think of any nonprofit or effort that's specifically working with folks like that. Let's put our minds to it a little bit. I know that, you know what, in Hillsboro, the Virginia Garcia Memorial Clinic, they do a lot more than just healthcare, but I don't think they're set up to do economic development or anything like that. And the Immigrant and Refugee Center of Oregon Foundation, which is in North Portland. I don't really think that they're set up to do that. And when you think about it, there's so many people doing sustainable farming now, so many people creating farm communities around that. It seems like, you know what, if you... Maria, if you leave contact information with Steve, our engineer,
yeah, I would love that. Thank
let's
you.
See if we can find some hookup for that or some future show around that. Because, you know, it's sometimes in Oregon, you see where there's like icebergs of people, like people that are divided, and yet they obviously have everything in common to work
I
with
know.
Each other. So
go that's ahead. Why I don't want to create my own not-for-profit because... I'm sure there might be something going, so I could just...
Yeah, that is so interesting. So we'll look into it.
Picun would be a place to start.
Yeah, you know what? The Picun... the
Pinheiros y Campesinos Unidos del Norte.
The labor union. The labor union that's down there in... I feel like they're in Wilson.
They're based in Woodburn.
Woodburn.
And they are a union of agricultural and forestry workers.
Maria, leave your contact information with our engineer, and we'll see if we can hook you up and figure out some further action on this, because this is exactly what we want to do here at KBOO. And thanks again, Maria, for calling.
Thank you. Have a good day, and thank you for putting up this program.
Sure. And this is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio on KBOO Portland. I'm your host, Lisa Loving. We're asking people, how do you give back to your community? How do you find time to volunteer? And how can motivated people start their own movements and nonprofit organizations? We're asking people to call us up with your volunteer gigs. Do you need volunteers, or do you have an idea for a nonprofit group or movement that someone should be starting? And the number to call is 503-231-8187. We heard from LJ, who's Mr. Grassroots Do-It-Yourselfer. We heard from Joanne, who's basically saying, you know, where's the government on this stuff? And what can I do for my kids who have some health problems? Who's out there that knows anything about it? Janice, she wants to save the frogs. We totally want to save the frogs as well. She was asking about the nuts and bolts of nonprofit structure. Maria just called with this incredible vision for what's really needed out there. I think that we have another caller, but let's just ask David or Stephen Bodine on the phone. You know, do you guys have any thoughts on the people that have called so far?
Well, actually, it's a little bit of a sideways thought, but I just thought I'm going to Australia soon. In Australia, every city has a major museum of history of immigration that they very much see the history of their country as a history of waves of immigrants who came for need and then provided the
labor,
and the stimulus and the energy of a growing nation.
Mm.
And that's the way we are in this country, of course, too. And it's good to remember that and see it that way.
Right. I've heard of immigration museums in the United States, but not in Oregon. And I think we do have another caller. Do we have another caller? All right, the engineer's tied up right now. Stephen, do you have any thoughts about people that have called so far?
Oh, absolutely. I think what I'm getting out of the callers into your show so far, Lisa, is that people are thinking and asking themselves and wondering, how can I get involved? And what are the resources that are out there in my community for the issues and the causes that I care about? And how can I either become involved as a volunteer or donor myself, or how can I be connected to the right organization or the right resources that will help me with whatever the issue is that I have concern about? I think this is, in a sense, a very Portland kind of morning that we're having these conversations, because, you know, the people in this community, in the Portland metro area, really care about being involved. And you know, I don't know what the numbers are, but I see at FAME Academy that we have volunteers that donate, you know, hundreds of hours of volunteer time annually, and donors that give anywhere from $10 to thousands of dollars. And I'm sure that David sees the same within his organization, that nonprofit organizations are successful because people in the community rally behind them, and because they do great work, and because people believe in the work that they're doing and want to help in whatever way they can. I think all the callers that have called in are obviously very passionate about the issues and causes important to them and important to the Portland community, and it's great to hear all of this interest out there this morning.
Great. David, and I'm just remembering the first, okay, full disclosure, the first benefit that we had in Oregon for Clowns Without Borders was in our living room, and people came, talk about it, come on. That's how it's, sometimes that's how the stuff starts.
Yeah, we just invited our friends to perform and invited our friends to come see the show, and it's grown for 12 years until we sell 500 tickets easily enough at our fundraiser every year this year.
Baby steps, yeah.
We have a whole world here in the Portland area, so there's a whole international community.
Yeah, that's true.
In Portland, there's every kind of problem under the sun to be attacked. So if you're into theater arts, like me and Steve are, there's a way to put that into helping people.
In all kinds of different situations. And we do have another caller. Oh, we have Claudia on the phone. Claudia, what's going on?
Hey, good morning. Boy, I'm sure glad to hear that we're talking about all the good work that gets done in the Portland area, and I think we have wonderful people that do volunteer countless hours. And I know I started as a volunteer in Forest Grove, which is part of Washington County, because I wanted to work with seniors. And so first I did some work with ElderSafe. So those are victims of crime over the age of 60. And then we just help people negotiate after a crime to resume normal living, to feel safe again. And from that training and work, then I volunteered at the Forest Grove Senior Center. And the Forest Grove Senior Center decided they would start a new program, guardianship and conservatorship, for those seniors that have become unable to manage their lives and they don't have somebody that's trusted in their life that can help them. So it was a small fledgling nonprofit, and you were talking about this in your program, that sometimes there are bigger nonprofits that will sponsor either a fledgling idea or a fledgling nonprofit. So Senior Gap merged with Portland Impact. Portland Impact is a 43-year-old nonprofit that tries to alleviate the effects of poverty and the effects of poverty. So now Senior Gap, as of January 2010, is part of Impact Northwest. The name has changed to incorporate more than Portland, because we're Multnomah and Washington counties, and it's everything. All the programs are from early childhood up through mentoring in schools, food, housing, energy assistance, and you know, all the work that we do with seniors, friendly visitors, and paying bills for seniors that have become confused. So I am thrilled that we're talking about it. We, like Stephen and David and others, need volunteers always. And we're always amazed at the good-heartedness of those that are in our community.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling, Claudia. And
okay,
we have
thanks.
A couple. You were going to say something, David? Oh, we have a couple more callers on the air. Stevie Ray, tell us about it. Tell us about it, Stevie Ray.
Okay, so our third president, Jefferson, was saying that contests and gambling and raffles are the best type and the only rational type of tax system, right, because it's optional.
Yeah.
So I think that that's really cool how you can donate to nonprofits to get work done. And then, like the Mercy Corps said, you get like $75 on $100 that you donate back.
Right.
If you pay taxes. And I was thinking that that with a good nonprofit, I'd like to talk to your guests about too. It sounds like they know more about this stuff. But I want every house in America to be net zero. I would really like to see that. That's my goal, and I like the idea of promoting local businesses. So I want to start a kind of nonprofit organization where we get like 7,000 people to put in $100, and then there's three winners of all that money. Person gets a free house. They choose where we build it. It can't be built until they design it.
Wow.
The directory that they pull all the information from the houses that they want to build is built by the local community contractors, architects, food agriculturalists, the guys that live here, put into a system where they can build an idea of their perfect house. This also motivates marketing in our local community for people to then refer back to that directory for their purchases. The second winner would be their mortgage up to $300,000 paid in full.
All right.
Period.
So, wait.
The catch is that you can't sell your house for 10 years all the employees have to be local. And then it could be like locals, local union type, where the payback in is the person that wins the mortgage donate back 30% of their income for a year. And every person that works through our winning person's job has also an optional union due of, like you guys do for your donations, like a one hour's wage a month type dues.
Okay, what is net zero? Explain net zero.
Oh, okay, so say you have an old stink house and you fill it full of all the insulation that you can and you get all the right windows and all the right attic fans, then you still have a certain amount of energy needs, and then all of that efficiency brings your need down so that you only have to buy 3 solar panels instead of 10.
Okay.
And in effect, your house draws nothing in. It produces everything it needs energy-wise.
Net zero energy
net
consumption
zero.
Thing.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay,
and
from the grid.
I called Mercy Corps and left them a message, it sounds like, because I want to start my own small. I don't want to be rich or anything. I want to ride a bike around with a laptop and show people this and business cards with the, you know, just pass them out to people who don't have time to talk about it. If you want to sit there, it's there. You could look at people don't have a lot of people don't have computers at all. I mean, we got to get out on the street and start talking to people about how possible this is. We just have to, you can't lift a house by yourself, but if you get 7,000 people there, you can lift that house.
All right,
and
Stevie
Ray. And I think that Cave has about 55,000 listeners. I bet you 7,000 of them would throw $100 down.
I bet they might. And,
yes,
and, ma'am. And maybe some of the people that don't know about KBOO yet would do it too. Well, so thanks a lot, Stevie Ray. You know, Stevie Ray reminds me, I go and work out at the Green Micro Gym on Alberta Street. They just opened another one someplace like Belmont or something like that. And it's not a nonprofit, it's a business model. But the idea is that all the equipment is hooked up to their energy grid in the building. So my favorite is this elliptical that's got a laptop on it. I just love that. And anyway, I'm not plugging anyone, but I will say that you're listening to Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. We have Heidi on the phone. Heidi, what's your vision?
Good morning. I am calling actually in response to Maria's call, and I wanted to let folks know that there is a wonderful group in Hillsboro. They're called the Farm Workers Association, or it might be under Northwest Farm Workers Association, and this group helps many local workers with translations, food drives, clothing drives, whatever they need. They go to dentists and doctors and see if they'll donate time and energy to help people in need. And I'd love to leave that number for Maria or any of the other listeners.
Why don't you just give that number out over the air right now?
Okay, it is 503-681-9399.
Mm-hmm. And that's the same as PICUN, isn't it? It's the Farm Workers Union.
I don't know if it's the same or not. I don't think it's the same.
Okay, great.
Right. But I have a Young People's International Folk Dance group, and we go out and dance for their winter party every year. And they're so helpful and really kind and, you know, appreciate any kind of volunteers. So there you go.
Thanks a lot, Heidi, for calling in.
You're welcome.
Heidi's calling in with a referral for Maria, looking for resources for farm workers in the Hillsboro area that have lost their job because of the economy. And she's talking about the Hillsboro Farm Workers organization, and that number again is 503-681-9399. I'm psyched about Stevie Ray's vision for a net zero housing lottery. That's cool. I'm going to be thinking about that one for a while. Have you ever heard of anything like that, Stephen or David?
It's a new one. Go ahead, Steve. It's a new one on me. She's thinking big.
She is thinking big.
She is thinking big. I mean, that's a really novel idea, and I think that's the joy of Portland, and that's part of the reason that I moved here from Boston 4 years ago, that you can think big in Portland and put your vision into action, and the community responds well to that here.
Portland, where the 90s never died. We do have another caller. We have Beth on the line. Beth, I bet you have some experience around these farming issues out there I'm going to call it West County.
When I retired at 64, I went and worked for the farm workers. No, they're not connected to PICUN, but they have outlets in Medford and Alaska. And also here in the city in Portland, it's called the FSSW. It's Friends for service and seasonal workers. And I work for them right now on Mondays and Wednesdays. And on Fridays, I work for Easter Seals. I help teach English to disabled Hispanics. And I do it underneath a professor who's just incredible. And we think of wonderful things for them to do, to show them how to type, to show them how to use computers. And we do it all we're trying to do it in English to get them to improve their English. A lot of them speak English, but sometimes not enough to get a job.
Right.
And then the third volunteer job I have, which makes it sort of interesting, was KBOO. I was doing news reporting for a year on Thursdays under Jenka.
Mm-hmm.
And when she left for her Stanford 11 months, whatever, I stopped. Rebecca May does that now. And I just got on my email a request that they need coverage on Tuesdays for more reporters, so I might be doing a third at KBOO.
All right. Thanks a lot for calling in, Beth. Beth is a volunteer superstar. Yes, I think that we have forgotten to mention that KBOO is a volunteer-powered radio station, and you can actually come here and be a volunteer as well. And we have a few minutes left of show. We have one more caller, but then I want to give Stephen and David an opportunity to tell people how we can support your organizations. But let's go with that last caller. We have Mike on the phone. What's going on, Mike?
Hi there. I wanted to mention that I'm working with an organization called Shacks, and it's a Haitian relief organization.
How do you spell that?
Well, it's the Society for Haitian Arts and Cultural Support,
okay.
And that's their acronym, is the Shacks. And it was a local group here, a couple, Judith Gellin and her husband Carlos, and they at first were they were in the let me get clear here.
Yeah, because we just have a few more minutes. You have to.
Yes, I know. I'll be quick. They were saying their object was to just sort of support the local Haitian community, you know, with keeping their cultures alive. And then when the earthquake happened, they mobilized and basically sent a 40-foot container and a contingent of firefighters and EMT people to go down during the earthquake. But now they're filling a second 40-foot container, and they're raising money to finish loading this thing and to get it shipped. And there's an event that I'd like to just
put
out
quickly. Here. Give us a date.
Okay, Harris, it's going to be a fundraising event at Harrison Elementary Auditorium. That's on Wednesday, January the 12th. That's the anniversary of the earthquake, at 6:00. And the person to contact would be Judith Gellin at 503-257-1014. We'd love to have everybody come out. There'll be traditional dance, drama, poetry, Haitian food, live music from local audience.
Thanks
local
a lot, Mike.
Artists.
That sounds awesome.
All right, thanks so much.
Yeah, we can all go and party with the Society for Haitian Artists and Cultural Support on Wednesday, January 12th at Harrison Elementary School at 6 p.m. That sounds awesome. So we're running out of show. It's been a wonderful experience hearing what people do that's positive. I get the impression that some people just see a need and they go out and they do it, and some people are able to hook up with organizations they find out about. So David Lichtenstein, you go first. How do people support Clowns Without Borders?
Well, if you already know Clowns Without Borders work or you'd like to support us, you can donate at clownswithoutborders.org.
All right. Go ahead.
clownswithoutborders.org. If you want to volunteer, you can leave a message there, or me personally, I'm david@comedytricks.com. david@comedytricks.com.
All right. And how about you, Stephen Bodine, with the Fame Academy? How can people support your work?
Right now, the best way to support us is by giving a donation through the Willamette Week Give Guide. We're one of 79 featured nonprofits, along with Livewire Radio and so many other amazing organizations, Basic Rights Oregon. You can go to www.wweek.com/giveguide, and this runs through this Friday night, midnight. 100% of your donation goes directly to our work providing arts education and programs to adults with developmental disabilities. Online, we're at FAME, PHAME, Academy, www.thefarmworkers.org. We do performances and shows and public events year-round. Our annual gala will be next November 20th, 2011.
Thanks a lot, Stephen.
Yeah.
We're running out of show. Remember that you can catch a podcast of this show on the KBOO.FM website by this afternoon. Stay tuned for Political Perspectives. Thanks to everyone who called.
The only KBOO show with March 4th theme music.